You're listening to SBS News.
For mum of two, Kathy Ngo, postnatal depression and anxiety became a reality when she gave birth to her first son, Hendrik, 6 years ago. Navigating her Vietnamese culture and the customs that came along with childbirth was difficult, as Kathy explains.
There's a lot of family expectations, a lot of pressures and customs to kind of uphold, which I wasn't fully aware of until I had my son. So it was a really difficult transition period, from being a career woman to suddenly you've got this baby and, you've got to look after it.
She sought help from her doctor, who put her on a mental health plan, providing her with 10 psychology sessions subsidised by the government.
It didn't take probably a year until I sought professional help, and it was because I was a little bit in denial of some of the feelings that I was experiencing and all these emotions. I thought it was just me being, sleep deprived and, adjusting to a new identity.
Having only had her second son, Harvey, 2 years ago, Kathy faces these struggles again.
It's kind of like going through it all again, but much better managed this time. I know what to expect. When to reach out, and I'm doing as much as I can just to help with my own mental health.
Kathy is part of 1 in 5 Australians needing mental health support, but public hospitals say they are bearing the brunt of a mental health system struggling to keep up. To tackle this, the Australian Medical Association issued a special edition of its yearly public hospitals report card today to highlight what it says is the failure of Australia's healthcare systems and hospitals to provide acceptable care for the mentally ill. The AMA's emergency medicine representative, Dr. Sarah Whitelaw, says there are a number of issues.
What we're seeing in the emergency department is an increasing number of patients presenting to emergency departments. We're also seeing that they're more severely unwell. More of them are coming by ambulance, and more of them are needing admission to specialised mental health beds that simply aren't there.
The AMA says mental health presentations have doubled in the last 20 years and resources to treat patients are declining, as Dr. Whitelaw explains.
Imagining what it's like for a patient who's incredibly unwell from their mental illness, now that those wait times in the emergency department for admission are stretching out from hours to days and days, it's impossible to call it anything other than a crisis.
Over the last 30 years, the number of public hospital beds dedicated to mental ill health patients has fallen to just 27.5 per 100,000 people, over half presenting to emergency departments succumbing by ambulance, with the average wait time for patients with a mental disorder now over 19 hours, almost 8 hours longer than other patients. Dr. Whitelaw says the decline in mental health beds can be linked to the introduction of the National Mental Health Strategy in the early 90s. It shifted the focus of funding to community-based services in an effort to get people help before they needed hospitalisation, but they say the strategy failed to meet all expectations.
Unfortunately, we haven't invested what we needed to in community and preventative care to actually decrease the number of people needing admissions to the point where we had enough beds for them. We've also seen an increasing number of people having mental illness and an increasing number of people having really significant mental illness that does, in fact, need acute mental health care and acute mental health admission.
Professor Patrick McGorry is a psychiatrist and the director of Origin, a non-for-profit providing specialist mental health services for young people. He says a sense of urgency, execution and infrastructure to build the new mental health system upon are all lacking, as Professor McGorry explains.
We need to put the safety net much higher up the cliff rather than put all the ambulances at the bottom of the cliff like we're currently doing. So that involves assertive outreach, community-based care, platforms of care in the community, hospital and the home programs, which are much better and much more appropriate and welcomed by patients and families, rather than heading into the emergency department and trying to find a bed in an acute unit.
There are calls for a radical overhaul of the public hospital funding model and the federal government to shoulder 50% of the burden. The Health Minister's Office says the government is working with the states and territories through the National Mental Health and Suicide Prevention Agreement to address areas of immediate mental health reform, including building a mental health workforce that is culturally safe. For parents like Kathy, this help is crucial.
Having children should be a joyful time, and you know, if you've got these mental health barriers and all these voices in your head, it's just going to steal all the joy. So get help as soon as you can. And it's not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of strength.
Francesca Denuccio, World News.